Ladies, I'm here to tell you about HelloGiggles.com. Founded by actress-musician Zoe Deschanel, producer Sophia Rossi, and blogger web personality Molly McAleer, Hello Giggles is the ultimate entertainment destination for smart, independent, and creative females. Everything hosted on the site will be lady-friendly, so visitors need not worry about finding the standard boys' club content that makes many entertainment sites unappealing to so many of us. That's right, I'm a lady. I haven't told you guys this, but I am a lady, and that's why I go to HelloGiggles.com. All right? Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for choosing to listen to this show. I know that it's a choice that you make to listen to the show. The fact that you've chosen to listen to How Did I Get Here means a lot to me, so thank you. I have a great show for you today. I have Little Brave, Stephanie Briggs. She goes under the name Little Brave. She is currently working on her third album under the name Little Brave, and she has a Kickstarter campaign that ends on December 4th, so if you like what you hear, get over there and kick her some cash so that she can make this unique record where she's playing all the instruments herself, songs she's written herself. She's taken the artistic bull by the horns, and she's going for it. And we're having a great conversation about it in just a minute, just after I tell you what's going on with me, if you're listening to this the day that it comes out, which is the day that is the 50th anniversary of the death, assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Isn't that weird? And yesterday, I was going out to interview Kimmy Rhodes, which you'll hear here in the next couple weeks. And I was driving out in the country, and I saw a pest control company called Assassin Pest Control. That is the pest control that I'm going to hire for any time I have a problem. That is the best name. If anyone out there is thinking, you know, Assassin. Okay, you're going to kill the mice. You're going to kill the bugs. You're going to kill the varmints because it's out in the country. You're going to kill the critters, things that might be running around there. And I think that the rats are back in my house. I had them come back and lay some more traps. I'm not going to get into it, but it's driving me nuts. Anyway, if you're joining us today, November 22nd, Friday, November 22nd, 2013, which is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy, tweet at me, at Johnny Gowdy. Let me know if you think there's a conspiracy. Anyway, Skyrocket's playing tonight at Sam's Burger Joint. And we're playing there tonight, Friday 22nd, San Antonio. If you're there, come on out. Revel in the good times, okay? That's because we're going to bring them. That's a funny thing to say. Anyway, look, I had a great week. I went to my friend Sarah Rucker's birthday party. It was like a Sheboygan party. The guys were there. Paul wasn't there, but the other guys were there. We all hung out, talked music, probably bored the hell out of my girlfriend with our rock and roll record talk about how amazing Wings at the Speed of Sound is, which, by the way, let me tell you, I got Wings at the Speed of Sound for my friend Todd Wolfson, but I've been running around, been buying some records since I got this vinyl thick collection. And the fact that we've got a Kickstarter artist today that's got a Kickstarter going out, I appreciate Kickstarter, and I'm glad that it's there to help people finish making their records. But guys, we got to get out there. We got to buy music. When you hear something that you like, go buy it. When you Shazam something, and, you know, in your car, even if it's just a song, go buy it. Just go buy it. It's a sad thing that people can't make money off of their, they can't sell the records, but people give money at the front. Come on, like, let's buy these records. So what I'm going to do to lead by example, I know Black Friday is just around the corner. I am going to go, for my family this year, and I have a pretty big family, buy everyone gifts. I'm going to go and find music that maybe they haven't heard, that's in the genre that they might like, and I'm going to buy them a new album at a local record store. I'm going to go to as many different ones as I can to do this. I'm going to buy CDs for some of my family. They got the vinyl. They rock the records. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy them all music at a store. Then I'm letting my voice be heard. Like, hey, you know what? I like this music. I'm going to buy it and get that money to the artist. even if it's online or whatever. But it's good to try and keep these records, you know, the record stores that are local in business. I just watched I Want That Record. It's a documentary. You can see it on Netflix. Go watch it. You can see it's, you know, it's a model and a microcosm of what's going on with small business everywhere. But if we can try and keep the record stores open, then that's one other thing that we have in our community that's uniquely ours, right? And let's make that stuff uniquely ours. Let's keep music going, guys. And not just for me, but for everyone. Everyone you hear on this show. For Paul McCartney. I mean, he doesn't have to worry about money, but he's got to sell records. Even if it's Paul McCartney, you like, buy his record. But if you know someone that likes Paul McCartney, maybe you want to buy him something in that genre of music that they might like. A Sheboygan, you know? Get out there. Find another band that you might like that sounds like that. I don't know. Jason Faulkner. Somebody, you know? Jellyfish. I don't think their records are available anymore. But I'm using terrible examples, but you know what I mean. Get out there. Buy music. Let your voice be heard. Hey, I like this, so I buy it. You know, that's a great thing. You like it, put your money where your mouth is and buy a record. All right? Maybe I'll get off my soapbox now. All right. My guest today, Stephanie Briggs. She goes under the performing name Little Brave, and she is currently making her third album, and she's got a Kickstarter campaign out there going for the third Little Brave album, and it ends on December 4th. So if you like what you hear today, get out there, give her some money so that she can finish this project. It's incredibly unique. She's written all the songs herself, and she's performing all the instruments herself. She's really going for it in a full-on control way, which I think all artists that have the capacity to do that should do it. I've done it with my album Boy in a Box. I know tons of other people that have done it. Everyone I play with in Skyrocket has done it in one way or another, and I support that 100%. You might know Little Brave. She's open for a lot of people like Susanna Schaffel, Bob Schneider. She's lately been doing a show where she does plays mostly by herself, but loops instruments. It doesn't get boring though. It's very cool. She makes cool beats and then plays over them. She's a great songwriter, and it turns out she's a great hang. All right. So again, I'm saying it. If you like what you hear, put your money where your mouth is, and throw her some dough to her Kickstarter campaign so that she can finish this album. And you got to give it to her before December 4th. So remember that. When Black Friday comes, sit down and get online. Give her some money if you like her. All right, here's my guest, Stephanie Briggs, a.k.a. Little Brave. Let's get down.
I want to live with all my heart. I want to finish what I started, then rip it all apart. Forget all these things. Keep me under wings.
Play everything on that?
No. It's like the opposite of what I'm doing right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are you doing right now? Because I saw the videos that you have on your Kickstarter.
Right.
And let me just tell you, can I tell you how this came about?
Yes. Because this is a fast I would love to know that.
Normally, sometimes it takes like a month before these come out, after I do them. But I was on Facebook and I was looking through stuff and all of a sudden, you know, in the feed.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I saw Strange Brew said like, oh hey, our multi-talented, multi-instrumentalist making a record on her own, Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, I've heard that name.
Yeah.
So I go to the thing and I'm like, whoa, that video is so cool.
Thank you.
And then I started looking around at your stuff and I was like, oh, this, you know, this girl's amazing and she doesn't have a lot of time left on this. Let's try and get it. Let's get the word out.
That's awesome. That's great. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. But you're doing these shows where you're creating the music in a loop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've said it on here a bunch of times. In the year 2013, when people have so many options, someone sitting on a stage with an acoustic guitar singing about how they feel, and that's it, is not really, like, why are you going to leave?
Right.
Why will you leave your house? You can watch Bob Snyder do that on your computer.
Yeah.
You know, if
absolutely.
You want, on someone's home thing. So anyway, yeah. So you're doing a thing. You had backup singers.
Yes, on the
which
videos.
Which I thought was uh-huh. really cool. It sounded great,
yes,
too, everyone's.
They're amazing.
Are you like a good harmony singer and everything?
Yes. Yeah? I love singing harmonies for people.
So tell me about your show then, what you're doing.
So,
you're making the loops.
So I think the most important thing to me with the show is that it's not base. It's not focusing on the looping.
Right.
As much as it's using the looping as another instrument
yes.
to make a song.
Yes.
And it's funny because after shows, people will always come up to me or there's at least one person, you know, and they'll be like, oh man, you know, I just started looping, or have you heard of this artist and they do all this looping?
Right.
Chances are I usually don't, because that's not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is making a good song, period, you know?
Right.
So,
and you can tell because you use it, like I've seen people do it where it's like literally this whole production thing while they're getting set up for every single song.
Yeah.
And by the second song, you're like, by the time they start playing the song,
yep.
it shit's been going on for like 7 minutes.
Yes.
And you're like, oh my God, seriously, for like a 2.5 or 3 minute song
right.
or something, right?
Right.
So in yours, you kind of set up, they're minimal. It's not like you're doing like a chorus and a verse.
Right.
And you're slipping shit in and out. Mm-hmm. You kind of get a little something going and you kind of started telling stories from what I saw.
Yeah.
Which is entertaining.
Good. Thank you. No, I mean, I feel like, I also feel like, when I'm performing, I want it to be a show. Like I feel like I'm very conscious of not prolonging an intro or even the switchover. It kind of still drives me nuts because there's so many little things I got to do before the next song, you know, where I'm trying right now. I feel like I'm trying to go in and like make it a seamless operation, you know, where I've got all this stuff kind of memorized instead of looking at a sheet of paper and going, okay, this setting and this setting for this song. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And
see, that's that's why I've never done
so
it.
So difficult.
Because I'm like, oh, God.
I
just, the level of disaster I would have too much anxiety to let go and perform.
The first time I tried this show at the beginning of this year, it was a disaster. It was terrible. But I was using, like, I was trying to use mics as a looping option, like, on stage, miking the drums and stuff.
I saw that. And the sound that comes back is completely different than when
you
strike it.
Well, that's the triggering. Yeah, now I'm triggering.
Okay.
At the very beginning, I played one show, and I tried to do just mics. And I don't know if you've ever looped with microphones, but when you loop, it takes the monitor noise and multiplies it. So you constantly, you're like, oh God, my monitor's fixing a feedback,
oh
like the
God.
Entire time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, cause it's just building this like feedback noise. So after that show, I was like, okay, back to the drawing board. Like, this isn't working. So I was like, well, I mean, I part of the show too, or part of the music too, I wanted to use more electronic stuff, like more.
Yes, you got a keyboard and you.
Yeah, the MicroKorg,
right.
And then for the drums, I have the Nord drum, so I trigger the drums and send it through the Nord drum, and you know, pick my drum sounds and stuff. And I just wanted to make these really like simple songs, you know, the way that somebody would have like just a like a band, you know, the way a band would, but. Very simple. Like, it is the songwriter thing at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's this big sound, but it's me saying, here's the song I made up, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like I'm finally falling into it.
That's good, because
like
you're about to go on tour, aren't you?
Right, yeah. Like, I mean, and I want to release it next year and do a lot of touring next year. So, Yeah, it's definitely good that I'm feeling comfortable with it now.
Are you doing that? Are you going to the airport?
I'm going
to one of the airport gigs.
I'm doing the airport gig today. Yeah, I do. You know,
hey, just not laughing, man. You gotta make a living somewhere,
exactly,
man.
Exactly.
You gotta get
you do
out
what
there.
You gotta do for yeah. real. And it's well, Nancy who books it is leaving.
She's leaving.
She's retiring.
I know. She's been like I bet there's like so many people in Austin. Yeah. You know, because I mean, there were times when the airport gig really made the difference between if I would make my rent
oh, yeah.
or not.
It does
like
that.
A lot of people.
Yep. It does that for me, for sure. But yeah, so this is the last one we've booked
gig.
Together.
That just sounds so weird. Yeah. For someone listening like in Idaho or something.
They're like,
what? It is in Austin, all the airport stuff is local, which is super cool.
Right.
It's
the
all
food,
local stuff.
The coffee,
you're not
going to
find a Starbucks. Yeah. You're not going to find a, you know, it's all, even the bookstore, magazine stores, they're local. And so also since it's the live music capital of the world, there's like the Ray Benson Bar, and there's also like a little tiny Saxon pub.
Yeah, that's where I'm playing today.
Okay, I like the Saxon pub
me
a lot.
Me too. I love that one.
Yeah, that's my place.
Yeah.
Although, do you go in there and you go like, oh, they don't even have my picture on this place?
Like on
you know,
the
like,
pictures?
I didn't even make the pictures.
No, like.
I've always had that. Like, I have that problem with Check Stop. You ever go to Check Stop
yes,
on the way to Dallas?
Yes, with all the... Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, the bands, too, that they have out there. You're like, dude, I've outlasted. That guy's a banker now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen so many people.
My picture's
I'm like,
not even up here.
Maybe we need to be handing them our pictures. I bet they would hang them. I bet they would totally hang them.
I saw a guy once go to a club when I was at Soundcheck that had the pictures up and
really?
Bring his own picture. I saw a guy give the club owner his picture and basically say like, hey, I'm not up here. I just thought I'd bring it so you could put it up. And I could never do that because I saw it happen.
Oh,
horrible.
Man.
It's literally like
okay,
the bottom.
Good. Well, good thing you saw it happen
so
make that mistake.
So when you go to the airport, this is what I was getting at. When you go to the airport, before we got sidetracked, are you going with like looping and the whole
no
you're just gonna
I
straight
play
up naked. I mean accused,
yeah
unplugged
I play well that would be an, now
they,
that
a,
would
they
be
also
an
have a landing strip
shoot.
In there as well and a yellow rose
now when I go in there I well when I do my looping I play a baritone ukulele
okay
in it
I saw you play a song on that with
yeah.
the bass guy.
Yeah, with a cello player in one of the videos, I think.
Cello. Yep.
And so when I go to the airport, that is all I take is a baritone ukulele.
That's like, all you really need.
It is. And to be honest, like I write pretty constantly. And so I have so much material and it's just, it's fun. To me, like it's in, I feel like I'm entertaining myself more than I'm trying to entertain people.
That's,
like,
that's
you know?
The approach you got to take there because yeah. guys are, you know, they're coming in, they're kind of pissed off, their flight might
right.
be late, and they're sitting there having a beer. Or
and not everyone's used to, or not everyone's like accustomed to live music.
Right.
You know, like there's.
I did do one of those once, and I can't. I might have been at that Saxon Public. I feel like when I play in the Ray Benson place in the big room,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
come across.
Like, yeah,
I
that's
get lost
a hard.
In the thing.
That is a hard stage.
Maybe one guy at a front table.
Yeah, that's always the case.
Is like kind of like watching his phone, occasionally
yeah.
looking up.
He'll like smile. Out. Everyone.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, but like I don't know if it's me.
It, no,
or
it's
if
that
I just
stage.
Don't project that in that room.
I think everyone says the same thing about that stage. It's just harder. I think unless you're like.
But you have to admit. I mean, you know, it that is a pretty unique thing.
Yeah,
I mean. You don't get off the plane in Miami and there's like a no. dude jamming there.
I've seen it one time in Portland.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I think...
That's weird because it's such a sister city to Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think somebody actually told me, they were like, oh, there's only two airports in the United States that do that, Portland and Austin, that have music in the airport.
Yeah. The only one where like the person that manages the airport might have a nose piercing or something.
Right. Right.
So, all right. So you... Where are you from?
I'm from El Campo, Texas.
Oh, you are?
Which is near,
wait.
Well, it's not far from Houston.
Before we go back from this, I don't want to lose that you do have a Kickstarter.
Yes.
And if you go to Little Brave Music, right?
.com, yeah.
Littlebravemusic.com, find out when you're going, because you're about to go on tour too.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the Kickstarter is up until December 4th, right?
Right.
Okay, so you have this coming out tomorrow, which is Friday.
Yeah.
The 22nd, which, by the way, I will be playing... quote unquote, tonight, the 22nd, at Sam's in San Antonio. And tomorrow.
I'm playing at Sam's.
You're playing at Sam's. Yeah. I thought that was cool.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Our paths are crossing.
Right.
That's strange. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you're from El Campo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you grew up and went to high school and stuff there? Did you have older brothers and sisters? How'd you get your music?
I'm the oldest.
You are?
Sister. There's three sisters, and I'm the oldest. And I played in band, you know, and I played clarinet, and I became like the drum major. And
was it a dream? Did you see yourself making music as
no,
a profession?
Not at that age.
What age?
At that age didn't even occur to me. Like nobody did that in town. You know, it wasn't
right.
It was like something in the movies or something kind of like just this really foreign idea, you know?
What's the place there that you can play and it's also a restaurant?
Greek Brothers.
And the backstage is upstairs. Yeah.
Is it?
And, yeah, and everything smells like cooking food when you leave there.
That sounds right.
So it's a long drive home.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No.
So, yeah,
so
I was just
making
sure that I had an idea. So you didn't go to Greek, like what, you liked music and you kind of have, you seem to have a natural proclivity to it.
I liked classical stuff more than anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I read music more than I just... played. And so, well, when I graduated high school, I was just like, oh my God, I'm kind of sick of music. Cause I tend to try to do something to the best of my ability. But at the same time, I can obsess about it just incredibly, you know, like just so. So by the time I'm done with you start in junior high, like 6-7 years of music, I was just like, I'm going to do something else.
Yeah.
And I really love to draw and paint and stuff. And so I was like, I'm going to get my degree in art.
Right.
I ended up getting it in photography.
Oh, yeah.
Getting a bachelor's degree here at, Southwest Texas, when it was Southwest Texas.
Right.
Got my degree in photography. But the first year of junior college, I bought a guitar and started learning guitar.
Really?
Yeah. So I did that, played bass in a band for like 4 years because, you know.
So what did you want to be? When you went to college, you were like, I want to be a photographer. I want to be a visual artist.
Yeah, for sure. But I started playing with bands and I thought, well, I like being in bands, you know, like it was just kind of I think I knew I would just always have, there would just be some kind of creative endeavor, whatever it was. Basically, I knew I was never going to make money.
Right.
Whatever I did, you know, but I think after I graduated college, I took on music full time.
Okay.
And did it as a full time job for up to this year, really. And now I'm trying to, you know,
diversify.
I'm trying to make ends meet now. I don't know. I'm trying.
it's not fun not making ends meet.
Make my rent.
Like
now.
There is a certain romanticism to it.
Yes.
For a very short period of time, or maybe you have more endurance.
But see, I just obsessed
a few years,
with something.
You're just kind of like, oh fuck, like you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Jesus.
Well, and there's no, when you do it for a living and it is the way it is, you know, you're scraping the entire time. 10 years of just scraping, you know, you don't,
our
you have
friend
nothing.
Casey Crowley would call that living hand to mouth, Phil.
Okay,
go ahead.
There's no, you don't get to put anything into your career. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like you're like, well, I want to make a record. And you're like, well, I'm going to find some money somehow. You know I mean?
Yeah.
And then I wake up and 10 years later and, you know, I'm in debt and four times over for four albums, you know, like it's just like, so I think maybe I'm at that age where I'm just like, I'm trying to change things. You know what I mean? In my head, I'm just trying to like find a different approach about the whole thing.
Well, it's also, you also were coming up and putting out albums as a business model was crumbling.
Exactly.
And changing completely.
Yep.
And you're doing a thing now that's popular, made popular because people just don't buy albums, where you go out and go like, hey, why don't you just give me like the money for the album now?
Exactly.
And in a few months, I will send you it and I'll say some stuff about you in the album and whatever kind of other incentives you have going on. I mean, it's a weird time.
Yeah.
You know, people.
It's so strange.
there's a whole generation of people that don't equate getting music with buying it.
Yeah.
It's not the same. And how do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm 33.
Oh.
Yeah.
You look so young.
Thank you.
You know? Yeah. But I think it's cool. Look, I think it's cool that you're taking it into your own hands, like the whole thing outside of a collaboration. So I read out there that you've done a lot of collaborating.
Yes.
And you're taking it into your own hands. And that was the thing that made me say, like, you know what? I want to try and spread the word about this, because there are a lot of people that are like, hey, come, I want to do this and I need someone to help me. You know, in fact, I was having this conversation with someone a couple of months ago, and it's really stuck with me. And she was like, oh, I want to write songs with you and do this stuff. And I'm like, man, she just kind of needs someone to make music for, because she doesn't know how to make music. So she needs somebody to do that. And so you meet somebody that has like this kind of situation, and you're like, oh, well, this guy can obviously probably do the stuff that I can't do, and I'll just jump in here and do it.
Right.
And I've avoided working with her because I suggested one. I was like, hey, you ever play like ukulele or something? She started one of this long thing about how like learning instruments would not empower her in the way that she's empowered now. And I was like, oh, it's exactly opposite of that. But that's cool. Yeah. And then I don't want to work with someone like that. But what I find cool is that you're in a situation right now where you're going to do it all yourself.
Yes. And to be honest, we've tracked...
Who's we?
It's
not just you?
No. Well, Pat Mansky, who is an engineer out at the Zone Studios in Dripping Springs.
Okay.
He... I told him kind of my idea, and I was like, look, and I invited him out to a show, and he was like, you just blew my mind. Let's just like, you know, do these songs, but let's do it at your house. Like
at your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like let's skip the, you know, the fancy studio stuff. Let's use, you know, a couple of, you know, fucking what?
Hand
sorry,
drums.
Sorry, no, like a
electronic things.
Yeah, like some
outboard gear.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll bring some outboard gear.
Right.
On a computer.
Laptop. A two-channel like you know thing, and we rigged a bunch. We rigged the talkback through like a monitor, and it was just it's fun. It's fun, man, it's I feel like we got five songs down, I think. And I just feel like it's like me. It's completely me.
There's something amazing. I did a record like that. I did demos for so long like that and recorded on 4-track like that for so long. And then I got these people were going to put out a record, and I gave them my demos for it. And they were like, why don't you just put this stuff out? And I was like, what? And I did. You feel like Prince, man. You do. Right? You feel like you're Prince.
I do. It's incredible. And to be honest, like even through all the songwriting and all the collaboration that I've done in the past, I always remember thinking, okay, the drummer is the most important thing to me. That is like who I cared most about, like who I cared to have like pretty consistently, you know? And so when I, you know, went sans band, I thought, okay, so the thing I love about music, or one of the things I really love about, especially live music, being there, is the beat, is the
drums.
You can tell that,
by the way, when you watch you create the beats.
I love that stuff. Yeah. And so
there's something a little weird about the beats that you
yeah.
They're not exactly, even when you got the, there's a thing where you're playing acoustic in a room, and you get the people to clap and stomp. That's not even like a normal. Like,
yeah, just, and some people
like
have really, trouble.
Yeah, I was like, how did she get them to do that and do it right? That was an astonishing thing.
Yeah, I mean, like.
So sorry, go ahead. The drum is the most important.
So
thing.
So like, I feel like that's been the biggest change, I think, from what I've done in the past and what I've done now is finding and writing that way too. Like starting with. I have an OP1. Do you know what OP1 is?
Nope.
It's a little tiny keyboard, but made by Teenage Engineering, and it's looks like a little computer keyboard, you know, and it's got all these crazy knobs and
like
shit.
This?
And, yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, but it's a
pocket piano. Sorry, for those of you at home, look at
that. That's cool.
It. Yeah,
that's awesome. I'll show you a picture, but okay. It's so you can do. looping, like not looping, but like you can build drums on this thing, you know, build your own little beats and stuff like that. And then you can play all these different, it's weird synthy. It's really fucking cool. So I started.
That sounds like the coolest thing in the world.
It really is. And you should see the, like the little pictures that like there's a little guy like playing the keyboard. It's so fucking cool. It's incredible.
Sold.
So I got one of those last year. I was like obsessed with it. So I got it and I wrote a lot of what is going to be on this record is on, I wrote on that because just something about starting at the opposite end for me, like, you know, being someone who's always just brought a song to people and been like, okay, here's my song,
right?
You know, and I have these kind of ideas.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But I feel like I'm going the opposite direction. Yeah. You know, I'm like, okay,
yeah,
bottom, you know.
Yeah, you have the beat before you even have the words.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I even love know that. What the chords are going to be. Yeah, I do that too. Fuck,
I love
that's
it.
Awesome.
I love it so much.
I knew you were going to be like that.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so let's go back though, because then when you got out of college and you were playing with the bands, that was around here.
That or did you go back to
El Campo, the Greek Brothers?
Oh God, no. That was let's see, New Braunfels. I lived in New Braunfels for quite a while.
Okay.
So it was New Braunfels.
That's a weird choice.
It is the first band that I was in was kind of Americana country-ish, and I played bass in that band, and so that was kind of like that's kind of the scene down there. Kind of that's what they do, you know. So when I started doing my own thing, of course, I stuck out like a sore thumb. So I was like, you need to go to Austin. You need to go to Austin. You need to go to Austin. So when I finally did, it was like just eye-opening. It was great, you know? And
What were you seeing? Who were you seeing? Name some people.
Name
someone.
The first person that I saw was Ethan Kennedy.
I've seen that name.
Who is the lead, who fronts the band Kinky Machine.
That's a good name.
I was playing a residency there like on Mondays or something.
Where?
Weird, like at Momo's.
Okay.
And he was playing after me.
That's where I've seen his name.
Yeah. Yes. He was definitely part of the Momo's crew.
Maybe I know him.
Yeah, I bet you do. He's a guitar player. He's fucking great. And he plays with Dan Dyer a lot too.
Okay.
Anyway, he was one of the first people I met. Through him, I met Megan Carney, who fronts My Russian Princess. She's incredible. Anyway, these two are like my favorite people. And it's funny because I've met other people since then, but they're still my favorite people. In fact, I am playing keys for Kinky Machine tomorrow night.
Really?
At the Black Heart. Yeah. Well, tonight, I guess I should
say. Yeah,
it's Friday night.
At the Black Heart.
Yeah, I'm playing keys for Kinky Machine. And they're like my freaking favorite band in town, so... I feel really excited that I get
so
to sit
you,
in with
you
them.
You taught yourself other instruments,
mm-hmm.
and you utilized yourself as a side person.
Yes,
as well.
I still do.
I've done that as well. Yeah,
I play bass in a few other bands. So you know,
It's great, isn't it? It's not all on you. It's
right.
You know, you're part of something. You're trying to make something
exactly.
better. It's not, you know.
And there's less pressure, I think, on stage too. You're not sitting there trying
to
be... To
me, it's a different kind of pressure.
You think?
Yeah. Sometimes, to me, it's more because I'm like, oh, I don't
really
want to fuck up this guy's thing like, oh, I got Johnny to do this thing, and don't ever get him to be in your band, dude. That guy's terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
I hope that I've proved myself.
Right.
But I still feel like, I always feel like, oh man, this guy, I don't want anyone to walk away saying I'm a chump.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. And the Kinky Machine stuff is pretty complicated. And so I get more nervous about those shows. But I feel like you should always be doing something that's above your level.
So when you saw those people, you were Stephanie Briggs?
Mm-hmm.
And you put out two records?
Yes.
As that, what, how, was there a band? Was there,
It was pretty, like, typical, like a guitar player, bass player.
And who produced those records?
I did all the Stephanie Briggs stuff, and the Wounded Will, and the first Little Brave, me and Pat, same guy. So he's been, like, helping me and engineering and co-producing and all this stuff with me since 2003 or five or three, you know, something like that.
Look at that. That's a long time.
I just feel like when you find someone who is just like,
yeah, you gotta hang on.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, we there's hardly any kind of like, especially behind a mic. Like I'm in another room, he's in another room. He doesn't have to like instruct me or do anything like that. Like, you know, I mean, he'll come on and be like, you know, that one was kind of funky. Cut off, start it again, I sing it again. Like there's no like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's no, you know, all this like padding that you do with people that you've never recorded. Like, okay, we're gonna reel it back. And you know what I mean? It's just like this, you know?
That's what I like.
And it's wonderful. And he's so easygoing and I, you know, ideas are always, you know, he pushes me. Mm-hmm. He pushes me past any comfort zone that I'm in. And yeah, it's great. Absolutely great. And then to be able to do that in my house right now, like, it's pretty cool.
That is great. Yeah. You live in a house, not an apartment like this? Because that's what fucking sucks about this.
Yeah, I live in Buda right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
How do you like that? How do you like that Buda?
I do. Yeah. It's smaller. And I live in the old town Buda, which is like all the older houses and it's a quieter neighborhood and just, it's a really cool place. There's a lot of musicians down there.
There are?
Yeah, it's so strange.
I know some guys.
It's so strange, you know?
Do you know Bucca?
Yeah. He lives down the street. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you live down there.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you end up working with Matt Noveski, my friend?
Oh, gosh, yeah, how did I?
Did he see you play?
Shoot, how did I?
Were you doing like a residency like a while back at the Cactus, by the way?
No, I've never played at the Cactus.
That wasn't you?
No, I'd like to.
There was a girl, I know that Pete Harris is like a fan of yours.
Yes. Oh, he's a sweetheart, I love him.
He was trying to get me to go see somebody and I never did go see them. And then I was like, oh, I hope it wasn't her.
Cause no.
I owe him an apology or something.
Yeah. No. I've never played there before.
Did you notice that we're wearing matching shirts?
Oh my God, we totally are. Too bad you didn't wear your pink pants.
I didn't wear them today. Or my lady sandals.
Or your
my lady Jesus sandals.
Where were you on that one?
Like Jesus' girlfriend's sandals.
I'm okay with that.
Let me ask you a weird question.
Okay.
How did you end up like on the... Oh, wait. You never answered my question about Noveski.
Oh, you know,
okay, so how you and where'd you record with him?
Test Tube Audio.
Is that his place?
No, that is open yet? Kevin Butler does who is part of Black Books. It's his studio.
Okay.
Here in South Austin.
Sounds really good.
It was great. And what I
that was just an EP.
That was an EP, yes. What I loved about Matt was that I would think something and he would just say it. Like, there was no, you know what I mean? Like, we had the same idea, the same goals. Like, it was, I feel like I didn't have to say anything.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really good, nice feeling, you know, feel like you picked the right person.
That's a great feeling. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and Kevin's amazing engineer. So, God, it was definitely a good experience. But the, you know.
And now you're going with kind of almost an opposite.
I am.
You're like, but you know what? I do that too. Right after I did the album of All By The Self.
Yeah.
In the studio with a guy.
Yeah.
There that's in charge of things that I'm not, you know.
I get bored easy.
Yeah. But that's why it's nice to have a bunch of shit around you. I mean, and you can kind of get going and like, oh, I can't think of lyrics. Maybe I'll add a guitar part.
Right.
You know, it's fun.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What do you record? What do you record on your laptop? And you use what? GarageBand or fucking?
It's Pro Tools. He uses Pro Tools.
What do you use? Fucking Pro Tools or fucking? What are you using
Logic?
Over there?
You got some Logic.
What do you got? Some Logic. What are you on acid?
It's Pro Tools. Fuck. And it's funny because it's Pat's laptop and it's a little older, so we get a lot of those crashes and you know like that from just the computer like.
Yeah.
Or like I'll be like singing my brains out and then it just cuts off. I'm just like, but it's working. It's working. All the little, you know, there's all these little things, but it's like, I can't, like I have.
How far are you?
I have no complaints. It's like the best thing I've ever done. I feel like. I don't know. To be honest, it's kind of depending on the Kickstarter.
Guys, because... you got to donate to this, man, because I want this to happen.
Because if it doesn't, I got to figure out how to pay how to pay Pat, you know, for helping me out.
You can't just put his name on it. He's associated with a great album. That's not enough for him.
You know,
ingrate? I don't even know. I'm sorry, Pat. Comment on you as a person.
Right. No.
No, I mean, I know. You got to take care of those. And
I do.
And look, people got to get out there and they got to give to this album. You got to get it finished. I'm
awesome.
Excited to hear it. That's the good. Other thing too, is like I'm in anticipation because also I read in your thing that you're also putting it out on vinyl.
I am.
Woohoo!
Freaking love vinyl.
Me too, man.
Yes.
Me too. You know, I just got a new album on vinyl the other day. I got Dana Falconberry's.
I love Lila Dana Falconberry.
I do too.
I love
you
her.
Reminded me of her.
I love her so much.
You know, kindred spirits. That's what I thought. I thought, oh, this is a Falconberry.
We should probably meet then.
You know, I never met her for a long time. And listen to this. I followed her on, like, Twitter. And I followed her on Instagram. And then I went to this rehearsal for this Elliott Smith thing. And there was this real nice girl named Dana there that whenever we'd all sing together in the chorus, she couldn't reach the microphone because she was too short. And then, like, the next day, I posted something of a picture from that. And she's, like, tagged herself in it. And I was like, oh, wait. You're Dana Falconberry. I didn't know that the two were the same person.
Yeah.
And then,
there you go.
Man, she's cool.
Yeah. God, yeah. Dana, I would love to
and
meet you.
And you've played with a lot of people. You've opened for a lot of people around town, shared the stage, Heartless Bastards, your Bob Schneiders, your Susanna Schaffels.
Yes.
That's pretty exciting.
Yes.
You've toured all over the States. You've played a lot of places I like Smith's Old Bar in Atlanta.
Love that place.
Me too.
It is tough going up the stairs.
Yeah, what the hell? Whose idea was that?
I don't know. They're like, yeah, just load up, you know, two flights of stairs.
What, you know, I had a Marshall half stack.
Oh.
No, I didn't. Did I want to play there? No, but I used a big amp.
And every time I've gone through there, it's been like really hot.
Yeah.
So you just like sweating buckets trying to load your gear up. And it's
solo
not even
tours
stairs.
Or with the band that you were doing?
Half and half.
Okay.
It was a little
and
both, but.
This tour that you're doing now.
Is acoustic.
Meaning?
Me and my baritone ukulele.
That's it?
Yeah.
You're not bringing the situation?
No, not
to
this
the fine
time around.
Folks of Danville, California?
No. Not this time around. You know, I did the last time I went through the West Coast, which was in July, I took everything and it went really well. But my biggest issue was I didn't have anything to sell anyone. You know, I would play this setup and I'd be like, oh my God, this is great. And I'd be like, I don't have that on CD, but I have these other CDs that you should buy so that I can make the CD, you know? So when I got back, I just thought, I got to figure something out. Like, you know, I got...
Fuck, it's almost like, I wonder if like, what's the guy, Bob Schneider's guy with the afro? He looks like the guy from ELO.
Yeah.
That guy's great.
But Teddy.
It almost seems like you could ask Teddy to fucking open one of those shows or like a Saxon where they don't even have to pay you.
Yeah.
And just go in there.
And record it.
A couple of shows. And I bet you'd have something
really
to sell
idea.
On a tour.
That's a really great idea.
I always think of asking people for favors, but then I don't do it. Because it's weird. But, you
I'm
know, Bob's such
way.
A nice guy. If you were like,
Bob,
hey, dude, look,
no,
I'm trying to get this shit together. I'm trying to do this Kickstarter.
Right.
I'm going on tour. I need something to sell. Bro.
Right.
And, you know, give Teddy a little cash.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've asked him for some opening slots, and he's all about it, you know? And Teddy's just the sweetest dude ever.
He's a sweet guy, man.
I love him.
They totally set me up with a thing. I recorded a podcast before one of his shows, and Teddy recorded the whole thing for me and everything. He's a great guy. How did you end up with the song in the charts in Qatar?
I don't know.
But you really did? Did
yes.
you go there and be on like their TV
no,
shows or something on like
no.
Leno?
How cool would that be?
Yeah.
My friend from San Antonio, Tim Slusher, helps me kind of do some management kind of things and just kind of make these connections. Like I've got the International Music Conference, International Music Festival, I don't find
something
coming up
okay
like December 7th, I think, is when I'm playing it. It's like this. So yeah, anyway,
at Strange Brew?
No. It's like.
So you're playing December 7th. It's like 7th a big Strange Brew.
It's like, yes, I am.
Okay.
It's a big conference. Anyway, my point is that Tim kind of has this way of kind of hooking me up. So he just knew this guy that does radio out there. I don't know. Like he knew a guy that knew a guy, right? Yeah, so he's like, here's this music. See what you can do. And
it's like Haji and Boner in the morning. Haji and Boner in the morning. Wah, wah. Turn on the fart machine.
Yeah.
I can't believe she's here. Sorry. I don't know why I made them Mexican. Are you Mexican?
I
thought you were Middle Eastern.
No.
Well, I just did that, and I was like, oh, maybe she's actually, your family's from Qatar. There's some story.
Nope.
You actually had 2 weeks at number one there. What does that mean, though?
I don't know.
Like, did you get money? Did someone call you and do a phoner interview?
It's like everything else in music. It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It does not translate into dollars. I did spots. Like, they wanted me to do these little spots, okay. You know, where you're like, hey, this is Little Brave, blah, blah, blah. You know, that kind of thing?
Yeah. And you call yourself that? You say, hey, I'm Little Brave?
Yeah.
I think that's
cool. It's easier to do that.
That's so cool, because then you can go with the band, you go by yourself.
Yep.
And then other people might not know your name.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I'm Stephanie.
Yeah.
But I just ruined it for you. Sorry.
Damn it.
The world of my podcast is...
Maybe you could beep it out.
Tell me... Tell me about the show. You did a show. I saw something that John Pointer had written about you that said that you did a show and there was actors.
Oh,
and there
yes.
was dancers.
Yes. I did.
Et cetera is what I wrote because I'm doing my own notes now.
Right.
My printer's broken. But I'm into it. Sorry.
My release before the EP was Wounded in Will, and I wanted to do... I had this idea for, like, this whole production. I call it a musical for lack of a better term. Because, you know, a musical is, like...
Where did you do
a
it?
A little acting. At Sam's Burger Joint in San Antonio, yeah. And so I basically said, here's my idea. Who wants to help me? And a ton of my friends were just like, I'll do it, you know? And so, like, the first song was I had a ballerina for the first song, we rented a spotlight so that I can make sure, like, there's a spotlight that follows her around. And you know how Sam's has just the big open floor?
Yeah.
So we just had kind of the big open floor, and she danced, and it's beautiful. It's on the internet.
I didn't see that.
One of the songs is, like, I have this, everybody, like, basically after each song, the lights would go dark and we'd reset. And then I recorded these little in-betweens. So you have like the song, you know, the stage goes dark. They this like 1 minute and 15 second in-between little kind of half song or like one of them was like a recording of when I was in New Orleans and I just had my phone out recording like somebody play like this little jazz band playing on the side of the road, you know? And so that would play for about a minute and then the lights would come up and then I had a marching band come in and like, you know, and tuba and all this stuff and yeah. Things like that. That's... And puppets. I had puppets. It was so awesome.
It was all going so well until you told me that. Glad did it you was have puppets. Awesome. Who did the puppets? Really did. Were they string puppets or were they hand puppets?
And the guys, you have to know, like they're from Austin. It's like puppet improv or something. They are freaking amazing. So they were like, you have to come see one of our shows now. And I was like, okay. Like I did this song called Blame. And it's just kind of like this little cutesy thing, but they all kind of danced around and, you know, it was just like a Sesame Street, you know, section where like they would like dance and I would like hug them and you know what I mean? Like it was the cutest thing ever. Anyway. So when we were done, they were like, you have to come see our show. It's puppet improv. Probably the funniest thing I think
Where
I've
do you
ever
see this?
Seen. It was at what's the little theater downtown, like across from the Paramount or near the Paramount. It's like a little theater.
Oh yeah. In the movie theater. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Anyway.
Coffee shop in front.
Yes. Yes.
I can't remember the name.
I went there and you know in the back they have this tiny little theater.
Yeah, they do a lot of improv.
And they did it was puppets. And it was the funniest thing I think I've ever seen in my life. It was just freaking hilarious.
I love that you're so into entertainment. Like you're not, How was it? So you just couldn't do that after you did that. It was a lot. It was a lot to sustain.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no way. I mean, there is a way, but it involves having money, you know, to do that a lot, to do it consistently. Does that make sense? Is that what you're asking?
No, I just like, I like that you're like a, you're like a, like, you know, Madonna or like Lars Ulrich or something, like somebody with like a huge picture in their mind.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not just going to go out there and do this. I'm going to bring puppets, dancers in between music, things, production.
Yeah.
Production value, things that don't really happen a lot in local music.
Yeah.
Because people don't have the money.
Yeah, that, yeah, exactly. But I would like to do something similar for the next release, honestly. I really would. I don't know what it would be, but, you know, I don't know. What's the point of having a release if you're not going to make it, you know, special?
Yeah.
Or, you know...
At least involve a puppet show. In
right. At least puppets. Come on. Get together, people.
Yeah. Yeah. Get it together, people. Do you have a boyfriend? And like, is he creative? I wonder if that would work.
I'm going to say no comment right now.
Okay. I see that. That's tough. That's a weird... I could... Okay.
Yeah.
But let's talk about... let's talk about the Cross-Canadian Ragweed.
Oh.
I just had these guys in here day before yesterday. Show's not coming out for a while, but they're these guys called Red Dirt Rangers.
Yeah.
Do you know who they are?
I know the name.
Yeah. They're friends, like a generation before Red Dirt guys from Cross Canadian Ragweed, friends with them.
Okay.
I found out that there's a guy named Canada.
Uh-huh.
That's I didn't understand why that band was called Canadian.
Oh.
And then I found out it was dudes' names.
Yeah. Yeah.
I found out just a couple days ago. But you did artwork and you co-wrote songs with them.
Yes.
Tell me about this.
How'd
you meet them?
New Braunfels. It's the New Braunfels thing, you know, all these people in New Braunfels.
They're a pretty big band.
They were.
Aren't they riding a bus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They randomly found me, I guess. And they were just like, hey, we like your shit. You know, like.
The visual art.
No.
No, your music.
My music. Which is strange because like I told you, I stick out like a sore thumb out there, but
maybe that's why.
Maybe. So started doing a little bit of songwriting, and then they found out I did the visual stuff too. So they were like, "Oh, would you be interested in doing that?" I'm like, "Sure," you know. So that and from that, I've gotten a lot of other actual visual,
really
art stuff. Yeah, I just finished one for Daniel Thomas Phipps. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what I wish I should have looked at it. Was it? Sorry.
It was a painting.
Okay.
And then my Wound and Will CD is my painting of myself. And then.
Oh, that's a good painting.
Yeah. I do all my own artwork and design stuff. Yeah.
I did mine on the album that I did the stuff on.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
It's like totally you, like just encompassing you.
Isn't that awesome?
I think so.
Did you ever have a 4-track cassette recorder?
No, I didn't.
Fuck.
I have a...
Sorry, we could have gone on for like 30 minutes just in that dream.
I have one of those, you know, those old cassette, just you push two of the little buttons down and it's like, it lays flat, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So one of the rewards of the Kickstarter, it was gone the first day, is the cassette tape album, which I will be recording on just that thing. Like, just, you know.
Right, no copies.
No copies.
You're just going to record it live. You're going to give them the original.
Yeah.
Caliphone, right?
Yes.
I read it.
Well, yeah.
God, I remember some stuff that I read. It's amazing.
And then you forget, like,
it's great.
Yeah.
No, you know what happens is I'll be out, and I've done like, you know, over 200 of these shows now, and I put out like 2 weeks, so I do a lot of them. Sometimes there are people I don't know, and I just, someone told, get this guy, comes in, he does his thing, and then he leaves, don't see him anymore, show comes out. And then I'll see him like at a place, and I'll be like, I can't remember this guy's name, but I know that guy hates his dad.
Wow.
I did that at Continental Club one night with this girl I was with, and she started laughing so hard. I was like, I swear to God, I totally know that guy, but that's all I can think when
that's
I look at him.
That's funny. I could see that. Like, you remember something that kind of marks your brain.
Do you do you go back and play the Greek Brothers in a triumphant homecoming concert?
You know, I find... that things like that in my situation always turn out to be like there's a name for it. Like when people who have known you for a long time, and no matter how like successful or how much you improve or like your how much your worth, you know, increases, they never think of you
as someone as anything. To pay money to go see.
Exactly. Yeah. So they put you on the back burner consistently. You know, so the last time, I mean, I can't even remember the last time I tried to book a Greek Brothers gig, but I remember it got to a point where it was like, it took literally probably a year to get a date with them. Just this back and forth, like, and I was just like, I don't, it's El Campo. Like, I'd rather just go hang out at my dad's house.
I don't want to diss the place, you know? But like, I was playing there with this band that I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it just in case they're listening.
Yeah.
But it's a popular cover band.
Okay.
And we were looking for club dates to play in between, you know, private shows. Yay. And stuff like that. And so there's this thing. It's in the middle of there. They want you to come at 3.
Yes.
To load in and do sound check.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to go before 9?
Yeah.
When you play? Like,
there's
whoa,
nothing
are you
to do
crazy?
There.
Crazy?
Yeah.
Just that in itself is like a no, L no show for Jono over here.
Yeah.
Because that's a drag.
Yeah.
That's a vibe. There's nothing for somebody from another town to go. There's not a movie. I don't know where the movies are.
Yeah.
You could walk down to
and
the Walgreens.
Movies aren't any, like, in definitely not in walking distance. Like, it's, you know what I mean? There's nothing. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And it's just sit up there and that thing. You go, oh, we got cable. Like, I don't sit around. That's a warm up for a show. Like, you lay around and watch TV
yeah.
for 5 hours and then walk
terrible.
On stage and entertain people.
Right.
Like, you're fucking putty.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's enough of that. What else do we need to know about you that I haven't brought up in my notes?
Me.
I've got, what is that Troubadour Texas thing? And how did you change your look so many times in it? Because
well,
in one thing, I almost thought it was almost like two different people. One's
yeah.
this girl with like curly
right.
hair.
Yeah,
with
like
glasses.
My hair is. Yeah.
And then
other one,
the other
I have bangs.
Like this, yeah, like
yeah.
the vixen.
Yeah. I don't know.
And now you're
Shoot.
Got like, I don't even know what's going on with you. It's pink.
It's
and...
pink. I don't get tattoos. I dye my hair.
Okay. I'm into
it's
that.
Kind of like my, I don't know, it's the thing I do. It's a thing.
Yeah.
I used to be piercings or dye my hair. Now I'm kind of over the piercings, so I'm just like.
Did you pierce? What's the strangest thing you pierced?
Oh, I don't.
Really?
No. No. Because
some things omitted are like, you know what someone's saying. Like, oh, I can't tell you what I pierced. Like, oh my
I'm not
God,
that
you
crazy.
Really pierced that?
I'm not that adventurous.
I don't understand how people pierce their junk.
It was
their
a college
junk.
Thing. Oh, that's like. That just seems
it's
like...
It's unsanitary. An infection in that area, like you'd get in your ear, would just be horrible because that's your area. That's an area that you'd never want associated with any kind of infection.
Johnny, how did you get us here? How did you get us here?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'll go back to music stuff. Okay, look, you've only got like only a couple weeks left or a
yes.
week and a half
okay.
left on the Kickstarter.
Right.
I'm doing this thing for Christmas, which I decided yesterday that I'm shop for my family, but I'm going to shop and buy music that they would like. Maybe they've never
that's
heard.
Great.
That's in their wheelhouse. Maybe my uncle, my cousin Christopher, he likes country music. Maybe I'll grab him Cross Canadian Ragweed. He's never heard those guys.
Great.
Buy it at a local store.
What a great idea.
To keep the money going and keep these places alive.
Yeah.
Is that... You know, where does that, is that something you'd like to do too? I don't know what I'm talking about. This is what happens
Are
when the internet lets
what,
anybody yeah. have a show. This is what they mean. Like, this guy's never trained in broadcasting. Yeah, I know. Look,
look
anyone can have a show. No, but you know, it's supporting music, buying music. This is something that we got to think about a lot.
Yes. I think a good way to think about the Kickstarter also is to think about it as a way to pre-order something.
Yeah.
You know, like if you think that, oh, well, I like this girl and I like everything she's done in the past and maybe I just want the digital download. You know, I just want to have it when it comes out, you know, or I'm going to buy it anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm already going to come to your show and buy one anyway. Well, just do it now so yeah. I can actually guarantee you that I'll have that stuff, you know, like
Well, my thing is, too, is that there's no, like, outside of what's now local record stores, there's no longer, like, chain record stores or anything, but you got, like, maybe Barnes & Noble has some records, maybe Target has some records, Walmart, these places, but they don't have that many records. You're not going to find a Dana Falconberry, probably, in Target. You're not going to find a Little Brave in Target.
Nope.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, is, like, going back to these places, like, we can focus on some other guys that... that people aren't really hearing, that really record sales keep them alive.
Right.
You know?
That's great.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, too, is I was talking to this guy, Gray, from the band Sheboygan, and he said that he felt that the popularity of Kickstarter and the reason why people will get behind Kickstarter and maybe not go out and buy an album when it comes out, they're more apt to give to a Kickstarter campaign is because it's a communal experience, which we've kind of lost with music.
Right.
With buying music. Oh, hey, I bought this record. Come over, everyone. Come listen to it.
We're going
to
listen
to this record. Everyone's doing it by themselves and with their headphones and like everyone's got their earbuds in.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People aren't really like having a thing, but maybe people are getting together like, hey, did you hear about, Little Brave's Kickstarter? Oh, yeah, let's get behind that.
Yeah. That's totally true.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You're going to make physical CDs?
I am.
Yeah.
I didn't last time. And
you didn't?
I regret
with the EP?
It. Yeah. I made 100.
Right.
I regret it.
Really? You sold them all?
They're gone. And to be completely honest, when I'm touring, nobody wants a vinyl. Everybody wants a CD when you're touring. I don't know if it's...
Did you make vinyl anytime?
I made vinyl of the EP.
Oh, you did?
A 10-inch, yeah.
Do you have any?
Not on me.
Look at me. I don't even want to buy it. Immediately, I go on this rant about how people should buy me. Like, did you bring me one for free? Fuck off. What, are you kidding me? No, I'm joking. Is that available at record stores? Because I'll go buy it.
I believe there's some at... blah, 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 blah. No, there's not. I haven't done that.
We're done. No, I mean, you're out of them. That's great, though. Yeah, what a great thing.
I feel like I run out of things and then I can't buy them. I can't reorder.
Because you're living off the stuff.
Yes.
That's what we're saying.
Look, full circle right there. You know?
Look, I'm in the same, we're all in the same boat and we're all doing this thing. Yeah. But more people can find out about artists and reach out and buy records. And you're saying, what I'm saying is put your money where your mouth is. Like, oh, hey, I really like her. Well, buy her record.
Right.
Okay? Because that'll keep her in business longer.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, I love Gucci shoes. You're going to buy those shoes because if nobody buys them, then I love how I use it. Like, neither one of us is wearing Gucci shoes.
Right.
I love Converse. You know what I mean? Like, you got to go get the stuff.
Yeah.
You got to go pay for it and buy it to keep the people in business.
Yep.
Keeping people.
That's how it works. Converse.
Like Little Brave in business.
That's right.
Where'd you come up with that name?
Whew. Well... The basic outline is that I went through a really difficult time where I ended up I ended up getting divorced and just kind of completely friendless. I just felt like I was like the only one who was standing up for myself. And so the first Little Brave album, Wounded and Will, is all these songs where I wrote them as a way of like telling somebody the story. Okay, look, this is what happened. You know what I mean? Because there wasn't really anyone physically there.
You are so cool.
Yes.
That's so cool. So you were, how long were you married?
7 years.
Wow. Yeah. I was married for 10 years, divorced too.
Yeah.
That's a tough thing.
It is.
That is awesome though. Cause it came from, so you really are like an artist.
Thank you.
You're out there making shit, and you got to go to the airport and sing for your supper.
I do. You're keeping me up.
What's I know. I got to go to Kimmy Rhodes. This is perfect timing.
Yeah.
It's going great. I like these to last a good amount of time. Everyone get out there. LittleBraveMusic.com is the website.
Yep.
There, from there, you can go everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Little_brave is your Instagram.
Yes, and Twitter.
And Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you like those? So another one. That one of my writers came up with that
Johnny.
Question. That was terrible.
Woo.
You're fired.
You don't. You know.
Which do you like best? Facebook,
Instagram. I'm a photographer. Photographer. That's right.
You know, there's famous photographers on there.
Oh, yeah. I follow
Danny
some.
Clinch. You know him?
Oh, I love his
One of my
work.
Faves. He took that picture of my band up there.
What?
Yep, Danny Clinch. That's in Jersey, in his hometown. He took us to Asbury Park, New Jersey, in a Winnebago.
You know what? I think I've seen that on his website.
Really?
I've scrolled through a lot of his work on his website, and I've seen that one.
You know, I jammed with him, too. He plays harmonica, and that day I brought my acoustic guitar, and he jammed harmonica. Do you know that that was, like, I was one of the last, like, film photo shoots I ever did?
Yeah. And I still do film.
He shot... It was ungodly. I think it was, like, 750 rolls.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding you.
Holy crap.
The contact sheets, like, you just got numb. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, like looking at all the...
Yeah, like how many pictures exactly like that can you look at? He had a team of guys, like guys
loading
shit.
Did they hand him his... Yeah.
Yeah, did, with the Polaroid backs and stuff. I have some Polaroids that he gave me from the shoot.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And such a cool, cool, cool guy. That's why he gets to go out on the road with bands. Bands want him to go.
You see his Tom Waits pictures? He's got some Tom Waits stuff on his website. It's
Who else is your favorite? Who else do you got?
A photographer?
Yeah.
I follow, I don't remember her name. It's like a long last name. Anyway, it's this girl this lady who took pictures of her daughter when she was younger with all these weird animals, like, because they had like a farm or they had this like weird zoo. And so it's like her daughter, whose name is Amelia. I remember that. Her daughter, with all these animals. And it's just kind of incredible. Like, it's just really, and a lot of it's bizarre, kind of strange, and it's she's on Instagram. I follow her, and it's neat to see her daughter. She takes pictures of her daughter grow up, so she's like an adult now, and she takes pictures now, and so kind of neat.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
My friend Todd Wolfson is not on Instagram.
Okay.
Because he doesn't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
And then he also thinks Instagram is dumb, but I think he just thinks that because he's not on it. I just thought you should know.
Thanks.
People need to get there. Littlebravemusic.com. You've got till December 4th.
Yep.
Get out there. Give to this. When you're thinking about it on Black Friday, don't wait till Cyber Monday, because that's it, right? Or is it Cyber Tuesday?
What? I think Tuesday.
Okay.
No, it ends on Wednesday.
Okay, so think about it.
Monday the 2nd, I'll be at Strange Brew for a Kickstarter finale party at 4 o'clock.
Okay. And people can find out about that on your site. You're also going on tour. You're going to be on the 23rd, which is tomorrow, Saturday, November 23rd, Sam's Burger Joint, San Antonio. December 6th, Magnolia Motor Lounge, Fort Worth. December 7th, Strange Brew, Austin. December 11th, Lestat's Coffee House in San Diego, California. Mm-hmm. We got some San Diegos that listen to this show.
Yay.
And on the 14th of December, you'll be at the Vine at Bridges in Danville, California. And at the 18th, Padres in Marfa, Texas. I missed one. Standing Sun Wines. On the 12th in Buellton.
I think.
And then, of course, Padres in Marfa, the great Marfa. So, I wish you a lot of luck on your tour.
Thank you, Johnny.
People should get out and give to your Kickstarter campaign before it closes down on December 4th.
Yes.
Give what you can. Watch the movie and watch the videos that you have on there. If that doesn't make you want to give, then go somewhere else. You know?
Yeah.
Give it some Yahoo. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Johnny.
I hope you have a great gig at the airport.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
Little Brave. Stephanie, man, what a great hang. I really enjoyed talking to her, and it turns out she's a super cool person, matches her music, which is incredibly great. Get out there, go to littlebravemusic.com, go to her Kickstarter, give her some money before December 4th. Let your voice be heard, people. And then who wants to join me on the local record store thing, huh? Why don't you tweet at me whenever you go to a local record store, at Johnny Gowdy. Say, hey, what's going on? And while you're on there on the internet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Leave a rating. Leave a comment. It helps us with our overall rating. And you can follow me on Twitter, like I said, at Johnny Gowdy. Also on Instagram, at Johnny Gowdy. You can go like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? Go give to Little Brave, littlebrave.com. Go to her Kickstarter. Stephanie, she's fantastic. If you're in San Antonio, 1123, go out. Also, you saw her her dates. If you're living out in California, you're living out in Marfa, you're living in Fort Worth, San Antonio, or Austin, get out to see her, littlebravemusic.com. All right, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. Guys, have a great weekend. Thanksgiving's just around the corner. Yippity-doo! Let's get down.
I want to lay in the grass, hope the ants think of me here right now and not the past. Watch them march out to the sea. And if you come looking for me, check the confines of their bellies. Thought you knew better than this, to let the words fall from your lips and into my lap. And I know you meant it, but maybe you'd do better getting back to me after a nap. I want to live in the stars, watch you all under me tear each other apart, sleepy and starting to fade. I'll hear your words, but not today. Time to heal, 'cause I'm years away. Thought you knew better than this, to let them all tear us to bits and push me away. And I know you meant it, but maybe you'd do better getting back to me after a day. Forget is now. Hide my gifts, hide my thoughts, hide your thoughts, hide your smile. Feed me to the lions and disappear. They will soon devour me, but with you gone, I don't care. But you knew better. But maybe you